You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current one, Rocket can. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 4 hours. Consider yourself lucky. Okay? I'm going to take you from Wednesday night. I'm going to pull you closer to Thursday morning. It's what I do. It's when I get started. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm being joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard. I'm being joined by you. We got people listening on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We have people tuned in on the free Odyssey app, Sirius XM channel 158. And we got people listening on smart speakers. So whether you happen to be at home, at work, on the road, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Maybe you're doing some other work in the garage. I have no idea. But I'm glad that you're here. And we got a lot to do over the next 4 hours. As I do every Wednesday night into Thursday morning, 2 hours from now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a new top six list. And earlier this week, we talked about the NFL Top 100. I told you how ridiculous the NFL Top 100 is. You got a lot of NFL players who are just filling in names. They're treating it like a popularity contest. They don't even fill it out all the way. And they just doing whatever. Tom Brady is number one on the players list. Well, tonight I'm going to give you something a little bit more legitimate. I'm going to bring you my top six list, and we're going to go ahead and talk about the top six NFL players moving into this season, heading into this season. This is not going to be a lifetime achievement award. This is not a matter of who would you start your franchise with if you needed to draft someone for the next 10 years. Who are the best players, point blank, period, heading into this year? You know, what did they do last year? What can you project them to do this upcoming season? Who's the best of the best? I'm going to give you that list 2 hours from now, a new top six list. It's what I do every single Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Someone who might be on the list, you'll certainly have to see, is Lamar Jackson. As we inch closer and closer to the start of the regular season, Lamar Jackson is leaving breadcrumbs about his contract and its status. How much money does he want? Where would he go play? What teams would he entertain? He offered up a little bit on social media, and we'll talk about that. Some NFL players who were recently cut have found their way to new jobs. We'll discuss that. Speaking of jobs, Baker Mayfield, he has a new job in Carolina with the Panthers, and it seems that Baker Mayfield has been misquoted. Over the past 24 hours, it's been reported that Baker Mayfield said he's going to go out there and blank the Browns up, his former team. Baker Mayfield says, I ain't say that. And so we'll hear from Baker Mayfield. Justin Fields might have some new protection on the offensive line. We'll talk about new faces and new places. And then we still have a lot of unsigned free agents in the NFL, guys who have yet to find a gig. And we are about a week out from the start of the regular season. But I have to start here with the show tonight. It happens to be Serena Williams. She won again at the U.S. Open. What is this woman's name? Kontaveit.
Sounds right to me. I know she ain't a number two seed anymore. That's for damn sure.
Well, she was the number two seed heading into the U.S. Open. And this farewell tour for Serena Williams, it continues on. Serena Williams just won her second round matchup, 7-6, she lost 2-6, and then she closed things out in the dominant fashion, 6-2. She's going to play on Friday in the third round. Tom Janovic, I don't know who this woman is, number 46 from Croatia. And Serena Williams was supposed to lose on Monday. They did the whole pomp and circumstance. They did the entire situation with the video message from Oprah at the end. And then they played it again tonight. And it's like, well, damn it, I love Serena Williams, but after every matchup, are we going to get the farewell? Like, let her lose first. She's still here. We don't need to play it every single time. And so Serena Williams, who came into the U.S. Open with a poor record, a record of 1-4 heading into the U.S. Open, she's now 3-4. She hasn't played but 6 matches heading into this tournament. She's already run the first 2 rounds. She's going to be in action on Thursday, tomorrow, with her sister in doubles. Her sister Venus has already been eliminated from the U.S. Open. And you can consider that to be a warm-up. She'll be back in action, looking to move on to the 4th round on Friday. And Serena Williams, I don't know if she's on a little bit of a magic carpet ride, but this is unexpected. Getting ready to turn 41 years old. Even Tiger Woods was in attendance. And there's some real parallels there about their careers. Injuries, age. Tiger Woods has had some more scandals. But Tiger Woods was out there cheering Serena on. And I don't know how you could not. Serena Williams afterwards, she talked about the match. She was asked about this being an upset. It was on ESPN. And of course, Serena, she's confident in herself. Take a listen.
Well, I'm a pretty good player. this is what I do best. I love a challenge and love rising to the challenge. And I haven't played many matches, but I've been practicing really well. And my last few matches, it just wasn't coming together. I'm like, but this isn't me. The last couple matches here in New York, it's really come together. Maybe I should have traveled with you all for all those years.
Yeah, Serena Williams was pretty much asked, hey, are you surprised by your performance? And it's like, well, damn, why are you asking Serena Williams that? You going to ask Michael Jordan at the end? It's like, hey, Michael, hey, by the way, you're old, you're washed up. Are you surprised that you dropped 35? You going up to, I don't know, a Randy Johnson at the end of a game or Roger Clemens and saying, oh, well, you're 41 years old and you struck out 11 to win the World Series. Man, when you're great, there are no surprises. You got something deep down inside of you that you can bring out. And so who knows? Is Serena Williams going to win the entire U.S. Open? There ain't no guarantee. There's nothing certain. You got to enjoy what she's doing right now, this minute, this second. And the look on her face when she was asked about her future, the look on her face when she was asked about surprise, it's just like, are you really asking me that right now? And so as Serena Williams gets ready for her post-match press conference, she's being flanked by no one other than Tiger Woods. And we talked about this earlier this week. There's some real parallels there. We're talking about prodigies. We're talking about two individuals who have had nothing but great influence on their individual sports. Tiger Woods is the most influential golfer of all time. He extends past golf when it comes down to its visibility, and his accomplishments on the golf course pretty much match the hype. The same thing for Serena Williams. A prodigy. 25 years of a career right now in Serena, and she transcends the game of tennis. I'd venture to say even on the men's side right now, Serena Williams is just the most popular player, most certainly here in the United States of America. I'd venture to say globally, especially where tennis is played, and she's extended into so many different areas, whether it be business or fashion. They're in parallel. So it's pretty cool. We did not see Tiger Woods there on Monday night when Serena won. But Tiger Woods was there tonight to cheer on Serena, and it was pretty damn awesome and pretty cool to see. And so we'll see what Serena does on Friday as she tries to continue on her, I don't even want to call it a magic carpet ride. But Serena's doing damage. And similar to what we got with Tiger Woods in 2019, him walking away with another green jacket, it would be absolutely awesome if we were to see Serena Williams close out her career. She doesn't want to use the word retirement. If she closed things out with one more U.S. Open championship. And you know what? Speaking of championships, this is pretty funny. I want to switch gears here for a minute because when I walked into the studio, I watched two things. I had Serena on one screen, and then right next door to the U.S. Open Tennis Center, the New York Mets play next door. And the New York Mets beat the Los Angeles Dodgers. Who knows? This might be a National League Championship Series matchup in a little bit more than a month. But Jacob DeGrom, the best pitcher in baseball, was on the mound. 7 strong innings, 9 strikeouts, only gave up 3 hits. And Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, they had a hell of a combination. And then you have Edwin Diaz, who is just, he's lights out. This is not an exaggeration. Edwin Diaz is playing baseball this year like his name is Mariano Rivera. Edwin Diaz is even walking out to theme music. This guy's name, I think, is Tiny Trumpet. He had a live musician there for his bullpen walkout music, the one that has gone viral all season long and is going to do nothing but get hyped up for the next several months. And so the New York Mets and the Dodgers, hell of a game, and this might be a National League Championship Series preview. You go out and enjoy it. Matter of fact, the Mets, you want to hear how important the game is? You want to know how great Edwin Diaz is? Listen to the final call here, courtesy of the Mets Radio Network.
Diaz to the belt, now the pitch. Swing and a bouncer wide of third. Picked by Escobar. Spins, throws, put it in the box. Edwin Diaz works a 1-2-3 ninth inning. Picks up his 29th save of the year. And the Mets have evened up this series with the Dodgers at a game apiece.
Yeah, well, you can battle for playoff positioning right now. That's what we have left with the month of season that we have. But please sign me up. Give me the Dodgers and the Mets and the NLCS. I'll be here for it. 855-212-4CBS. Jeremy, he is calling from Massachusetts. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Yeah, you Absolutely. Mentioned the Mets recently. You know, I was locked in on Jacob DeGrom. I'm a Red Sox fan by nature, but they're kind of out of it. Jacob DeGrom pitched a great game tonight. Of course, Diaz shut it down. DeGrom's only got 80-something wins for his career. That blew my mind when I heard that stat. He's been so dominant his whole career, a couple Cy Young wins. What do you think that means about his Hall of Fame credentials, given that how dominant he's been, but only accruing 80-something wins to this point in his career?
Well, I think – well, thank you so much, Jeremy, for calling from Massachusetts. I'm going to go ahead and answer you. Wins in Major League Baseball right now, wins are devalued. That's it. Wins are devalued. And if you take a look at Jacob DeGrom and his career as a New York Met, a running theme has been a lack of run support for Jacob DeGrom. We're talking about someone who would step out onto the mound, give the New York Mets 7, 8, sometimes 9 innings, strike out the entire world, throw 100 plus miles per hour, and then walk away with an L because the New York Mets couldn't go out there and score runs. And so with the way baseball has changed, 6 innings is a strong start by a pitcher. Here, give us 6 innings and only give up 3 runs. The idea that going 9 is blasphemous. With baseball changed, wins aren't as important, man. It was always great to see who was going to get that chase to 20 wins. It was cool to see Roger Clemens season to season say, I'm going to win 22 games or throw a complete game. Those days are over. But when you think about Jacob DeGrom's career up until this point, and yes, unfortunately, there are several seasons recently where he's just been hurt. Tommy John surgery 10 years ago and shoulder issues and nerve damage in his elbow and shoulder blade issues. It's been a lot. The man basically didn't play from last summer until this summer. He just stepped back out onto the mound to complete what is his sixth, seventh start. And the New York Mets need him for the postseason run. We've seen him in the playoffs. We've seen him in the World Series. We've seen him, especially last year, before being injured, pitch to an ERA of one. Who the hell does that? How the hell do you have an ERA as a starter through half a season? That's not to say that his ERA was going to stay at one. What does that mean? It's going to go up to 1.7? Last season, DeGrom was running around like he was Bob Gibson. Yeah, it'd be nice if he stayed healthy. His arm doesn't have the wear and tear of others as he started off as a shortstop. He's a bad man. So there was a lot of action in Queens tonight. The New York Mets beating the Dodgers. Serena Williams extending her career, winning another matchup. And on the baseball side, talking about DeGrom and how amazing he is, Buck Showalter, OG manager, he said that DeGrom, he was the difference in the game tonight.
Jake was the difference in that game. Obviously, they've got a really good pitcher. He's having a great year. We knew that coming in, and it was going to be, runs were going to be at a premium. Overlook Marte, you know, he saw a lot of changeups at first at bat and made the adjustment and sat on it and got him.
Yeah, what else? Jacob DeGrom is must-see TV. There's only a handful of pitchers, I would say, in Major League Baseball right now that when you hear their name, you go, oh, I got to watch him. DeGrom is there. Scherzer is there. They're on the same team. Think about someone like Justin Verlander. It's not like it used to be where you go, oh, man, I absolutely must watch this man throw a ball. Clayton Kershaw, even in an older age, you know, there's a curiosity as to what he will do. And we have plenty of young pitchers who are lights out. But not everybody is prime time. Jacob DeGrom, even after missing an entire season, there isn't a pitcher as good as him. When he gives up a run, it's almost, it's impossible. It's freakish. How could you do that? And I guess that's appropriate when you only give up one run per nine innings. This man is a freak of nature. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. We just heard from Buck Showalter. I don't want to call Buck Showalter a gray beard because I don't recall seeing him with a beard, but we know he is a veteran manager. This man's been doing a damn thing for the better part of, I don't know, off and on, 30 years. Well, when we come back from break, I'm going to tell you about a manager. Buck Showalter is, he's 66 years old. I'm going to tell you about a manager who's almost 10 years, more than 10 years older than Buck Showalter. And unfortunately, he's being pulled away from the field. I'll let you know who it is on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Music.
JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I need to let you know this. Here's something for you. Here's a fact. Here's a question and an answer. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? It's because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. And they've always got your battery solution. So get in the zone. AutoZone. We opened up the show telling you about everything going on in Queens, New York. The U.S. Open is going down. Serena Williams advances. Second round, she's going to play doubles tomorrow with her sister, Venus. Friday, she's going to be back in singles action in what could potentially, again, be her final match. And then the New York Mets, they just beat the Dodgers at home in Queens, next door to the U.S. Open. And so things are busy in Queens, New York. But right before we went to break, we heard from Buck Showalter. He talked about the greatness of Jacob DeGrom, New York Mets pitcher. And he says, yeah, this is what we expect from the man. Seven strong innings, only gave up a home run to Mookie Betts, and struck out nine. The New York Mets brought in Buck Showalter because he's a manager's manager. We hear this phrase utilized a lot. A baseball man. Well, what is a baseball man? He's an old guy that has just lived and breathed the game, and he's wise, he's a sage, a baseball man, Buck Showalter is. And so a lot of New York Met fans were thrilled when they got rid of some of the riffraff or less experienced managers and brought in Buck Showalter. Yankee fans are familiar. Oriole fans are familiar. And so if you got to think about a baseball man, this is unfortunate news. But last night I shared with you, let's go from Queens, New York. Let's go to Chicago right now. Because the White Sox, how about this? This is a little bit of a shock. The White Sox are winning a baseball game on the South Side right now. They're beating the Royals. Not too difficult. Shouldn't be difficult. Right now, 4-1. They're in the eighth inning, and so let's see if the White Sox can hold on. They should be able to hold on. But someone who is not in attendance for the Chicago White Sox happens to be their own, quote-unquote, baseball man. It's Tony La Russa, the manager. The White Sox right now on, what, a five-game losing streak. They're stinking the joint up right now. They've fallen below 500. This is another disappointing season for the White Sox. And Tony La Russa is currently out due to an unknown medical issue. And it ain't a medical issue for you or I to know because it's Tony La Russa's business. But this is unfortunately the type of thing you have to be concerned about when you bring on a manager who the minute he was hired prior to last season was the third oldest manager in Major League Baseball history. I wish I was exaggerating. Tony La Russa spoke to the media yesterday, as usual, before the game. And prior to the game, the doctors said, nah, man, you can't go out there. And so he was evaluated more. And now Tony La Russa will be away from the Chicago White Sox as their manager indefinitely. And I don't need to know what his health issue is. I mean, I can go on and start listing potential things based on his age, but that'd be a waste of time. More importantly, whatever it is, I hope he gets well soon. Sure, he's going to turn 78 years old in October. Give me a couple of hours, and I'll be able to say next month without a problem as we pull up on September. Jack McKeon, you might remember him. Yeah, he also managed for a long-ass time, starting off in the 70s and also winning the World Series with the Florida Marlins back in 2003. Jack McKeon was 80 years old. At least he won a championship. And then there's Connie Mack, the oldest manager in Major League Baseball history. We're talking about the early 1900s, okay? This man managed at 87 years old. Tony La Russa is currently 77 years old. He's going to turn 78 in a few weeks. Is he going to be able to say that he managed at 78 years old? And if he's having health and medical issues right now, and we're moving into the offseason, and last year was a pleasant surprise for the Sox, this year has been a disaster. People have questioned some of his in-game adjustments, intentional walks, falling asleep in the dugout. And I wish I was exaggerating. This man was falling asleep in the first inning, in between the top and the bottom of the first. Tony La Russa was in the dugout, nodding like you or I or anybody would be nodding, I don't know, at church when the preacher or the priest or whoever it is just going on too long and I want to watch the football game. With everything that's taking place, I think it's due time. At the end of this year, Jerry Reinsdorf, Tony La Russa does not need to come back next year. Let that man go home. Let him continue on as a consultant. But there's no reason for him to be back on the road grading his players or being grading on his players, not supporting them, questionable managerial decisions, not evoking confidence from the fan base, falling asleep in the dugout, and now, unfortunately, dealing with a medical issue. He's had a successful enough career. Four-time manager of the year. He's won three championships. He got that one with the A's and then picked up another two with the Cards. What else is there for Tony La Russa to do? Go home, stay home, focus on your health. That's more important. It's the JR Sport Reef Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get into more important things. Lamar Jackson, my top six list of NFL players. And speaking of important things, Deion Sanders has an important message, plenty of them, for his players at Jackson State and for the community at large. We'll share that on the other side. It's the JR Sport Reef Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, JR. My first time calling you, and I find you to be an excellent guy to listen to, so good luck. I hope you never lose this slot because, really, you're so bright and intelligent, and you cover it all, and I'm very happy to listen to you.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
That's right, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. In a few minutes at the top of the hour, I'm going to tell you about Lamar Jackson. I also want to talk to you about some of the individuals who happen to still be free agents. There's a lot of big names that can go ahead and help out an NFL team. There's a lot of focus on who got cut and who's going here and who's going there. There's some guys who might be able to pop in and help out. And so we'll talk about that next hour. You know, right before we went to break, I told you about Tony La Russa. I think I told you about us all just walking into the world of reality where Tony La Russa is getting ready to turn 78 years old. White Sox probably at the end of this season need to move on from La Russa. It was a questionable hire from the get-go, given how long he has not managed, about a decade, his age, and all of those issues have certainly cropped up over the past 2 years, irritating his own players, the fan base, falling asleep, and it's due time. Tony La Russa, he's accomplished enough. Go ahead. Stay home. Be a consultant. What you were doing prior to coming out of retirement. And so life comes at you fast, just like everything else. And so amongst all of the things that have taken place this week, life has also come at all of the folks in Jackson, Mississippi fast. Much love to all my folks listening out not too far from me in Jackson. Obviously, I'm here in the South in Atlanta. Alabama separates us. But Deion Sanders, we know, he's the head coach of Jackson State. And over the weekend and even over the past week and change, there's just been storms whipping around the Gulf. So Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Atlanta, we have just been whipped up with rain over the past few weeks, and things have finally started to clear up just a little bit, depending on where you live. But over the weekend in Jackson, one of the water filtration plants happened to fail. And so Jackson suffered from major flooding, water damage, and we know when you have flooding and water damage, that can lead to the lack of electricity. That can lead, obviously, to the lack of clean water. And so this is something that not only affected the city and its residents, but also Jackson State University. And Deion Sanders, his team, he's in the process of trying to prepare them for their game this upcoming Sunday as the season really gets rolling against Florida A&M. It's going to take place down in Miami. And Deion Sanders, who has not been shy and really touting the program, being the face of the program, talking about its challenges and how he wants to build it up, he was talking to TMZ. And he explained earlier this week why Jackson State, why the football program, has been in crisis mode.
We hit with a little crisis. The city of Jackson, we don't have water. Water means we don't have air condition. We can't use toilets. We don't have water. Therefore, we don't have ice, which pretty much places a burden on the program. So right now, we're operating in crisis mode. I got to get these kids off campus, the ones that live on campus, the one that lives in the city of Jackson, into a hotel and accommodate them so that they can shower properly and take care of their just needs. Make sure all our kids are fed and all our kids have the necessities of life for the next several days until this crisis resides. That's what we're operating in right now. So we're going to find somewhere to practice, find somewhere that can accommodate every darn thing that we need and desire to be who we desire to be, and that's dominant. The devil is a lie. You ain't going to get us today, baby.
And so they were offered some temporary housing and an opportunity to practice in Greenville, which is about 90 minutes, 2 hours away, in Mississippi as well. They've been looking for hotel spaces, and the game has been moved pretty much from Saturday over to Sunday, where they're going to take on Florida A&M. So not necessarily the way anyone wants to start their season. Deion Sanders, he didn't go ahead and put all the details out there, not that it would be necessary. He said that they did find hotel accommodations. And I just got to say, hey, much love to everybody out in Jackson. It's been declared a federal emergency out there. Much love to everybody in Mississippi. There's always quite a few things bigger than sports, and that is something that unfortunately is affecting a lot of folks right now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Mike is calling from Florida. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike? No, Mike was there. Now he's not. E-Man is calling from Maryland. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, man? I just wanted to call in and say you're amazing at what you do, and I appreciate you a lot. I listen to you almost every night, and it's just a great show.
Thank you. What's up?
So I just wanted to call in about Lamar Jackson and just the Ravens management. I've been a – so are you waiting to talk about Lamar, or
no,
am I calling too soon?
No, you didn't do anything too soon. We are going to talk about Lamar, but go ahead and give me your thoughts, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, man. I've just been a Ravens fan for pretty much my entire life, and I feel like we have become too comfortable in the way that we manage things. And we've always been such a run-centric team and a defensive-minded team and a tough-nosed football team to where I feel like we are scared to spend money on true talent and flash and, you know, people that can get us to where we need to be. Both Super Bowls that we have been without, I mean, Joe Flacco was no scrub in that playoff run, but I mean, Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco, and Trent Dilfer was not a good quarterback.
These can you complain too much about the championships? They were led by amazing defenses, and one of the defenses is one of the greatest of all time.
Absolutely not, and I am very appreciative of those championships. All I'm saying is, I think in this new NFL, we're becoming too comfortable, and we think that we have to stick in our ways. It's right in front of us. This guy is the real deal. I have watched every game, and I feel like we're scared. Like, this team has never paid money for a big-time receiver. They have not, you know, gone out and gotten free agents like other teams have done. And I guess it's just their way of business, but I think, you know, we need to pay this man. It is like, I've watched my dad be a Washington fan for his entire life, and I've watched them go through quarterback after quarterback. And I just don't want that to become us. Like, people would beg to have a guy like Lamar Jackson on their team, and I just would like us to, you know, be smart about this.
So is there a fear that Lamar Jackson is going to end up on another team? Do you fear Lamar Jackson not being paid by the Baltimore Ravens?
I at this point, I do, because it's just like, it's gone on too long. Both sides have been playing this game for a long time now, and if there isn't a deal that's happened so far, then what's going to change? I mean, like, if he plays better this season and he proves himself, then we're going to have to pay him more money. Like, wow. Quarterbacks are going to keep getting paid, and contract prices are going to go up, and, you know, we need to nip it in a bud.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, E-Man, I'm going to go ahead and respond to that in full at the top of the hour. You stay tuned, okay?
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, E-Man, for calling from Maryland. Justin is calling from Atlanta. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
I just wanted to call and say that Deion, I think he's doing a great job out there. Because I played, like, me being in college football and playing college football, I kind of understand what's going on, and that's why some of the coaches getting upset with the NIL and everything that's going on. But Deion Sanders, he's doing a great thing for young black athletes.
Yeah, without a doubt, the program, he's doing an amazing job with the program. There were so many questions, and thank you, Justin, for calling from Atlanta. There were so many questions about Deion's intentions and whether or not he was going to stick it out. He has had so many opportunities and legitimate reasons to walk away from the program. This man literally had to have surgery to remove part of his feet. He's had digits removed from his feet. He could have walked away. He could have said, nah, I need to stay at home. This man is dealing with a crisis right now with his team, moving into his third season, right at the beginning of the season. Deion Sanders, not that he's going to quit right now, but he's had reason to. He does not need to do this. Deion Sanders does not need to do this. And there were plenty that questioned his intentions, the cash, the finances. People wanted to talk about Barstool this and Barstool that, and they couldn't understand the larger picture. Well, a lot of it has certainly played out. Rich is calling from Chicago. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, JR. I want to give you the inside scoop on the vibe in Chicago about what you were talking about, La Russa. He's going to get run out of town. And, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but a lot of folks that I know think that all of a sudden they've lost 10 out of the last 12, that all of a sudden he got sick. And is this like putting a guy on the IL that with a fake injury to get him off the roster? I don't want to go that way, because that's a serious accusation if he's really sick. But I'm going to tell you something, why he will be gone anyway. And this is, I would say 80% of the people in Chicago want to see him gone anyway. But here's the deal. Reinsdorf hired him after he got fired in 83 by Hawk Harrelson as kind of a makeup call because he had the table set. The White Sox are the most disappointing team in baseball. Not to any baseball expert, they'll tell you that. They're loaded. They got a great, talented lineup. And they can't even play 500 ball and haven't since the All-Star game of last year. This isn't something new. They play stupid. They don't execute fundamentals. You've already pointed out a lot of his deficiencies. But
well, he'd intentionally walk you right now after being up 0-2. So I mean, we can think about some of his deficiencies. They're all glaring. I see no way in hell. And thank you, Rich, for calling from Chicago, that he can return. There's no reason that he should have been hired in the first place. This is almost, unfortunately, a matter of one person who is inept leading another one. Where will you lead them? To the land of ineptitude. That's just the facts. Bad idea. Bad idea. There's no way in hell that Tony La Russa can come back next year. And I am not going to get into the conspiracy theories. Well, right before the game, they pulled him and said, it's a medical issue? Well, maybe it is. Maybe they've also come to the conclusion that he needs to go away. Maybe it's a combination of both. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to leave the phone lines open. When we come back from break, I'm going to address our caller. Iman, I think his name was, asked me about Lamar. We'll talk about him and his contract and the Ravens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.